So today's a testimony day. We do it once a quarter. Pray over your kids. Pray over your homes. Pray over your car when you get in it. Just pray for his protection, because there's that extra level of protection. That's just a testimony. So I'm thankful for that. Brandon.
Everybody knows I'm a recovering drug addict. I've got 4 years as of September 6th. I guess my testimony is about redemption. You know, I went from homeless to having a home, jobless to working the job of my dreams, to owning my own business, to having a partner who I love very much, Matthew. Today, I'm able to give back as much as I can. I struggle with some challenges in my life with finance, you know, sometimes, most of the time. But, you know, God is good, and I haven't done without since I've gotten sober. Not one thing. He's provided. Thanks.
Amen. That's a good one. Amen. Anybody else really quick before we go to it? There's got to be another one. I know there's another one. Okay. I thought you might.
This is only our third time being in this church, but last Sunday, my husband Andrew and he wasn't here today. I think he's in Mauricio, right? They gave their heart to Christ. Amen. You know, I've been with Andrew for, it'll be 5 years next month. And, you know, we went for a while. I went through this period where I guess I kind of abandoned God. You know, I've had this calling to be a pastor for a long time. You know, and I've kind of fulfilled it for a little while, and then I ran from that. And I think when you run from that, you know, you do damaging things to yourself, honestly. You know, not just spiritually, but emotionally. You know, you forget what life is all about and what your purpose is about. And I think when God tells you to do something, you know, you need to do it. The whole service, I was sitting there, and it was like this, you know, God was saying, you need to take these men down, you know, down and pray, you know, and pray with them. And it was just like constantly over and over and over again. And I think, you know, when God speaks to you, you really need to listen to that. For 5 years about, what if we got into a car accident and my husband died? Where, you know, and where would he go for eternity? And this, you know, man who I met him the first time I was here, where would he go? You know, it's like, you just imagine that. Imagine loving somebody, you know, so much. You know, you're married to him, you've been with him 5 years, and having to worry day after day, where would they go if they died? You know, and maybe, I've been struggling with that this past week. What does that say about me that I let him go 5 years without ever asking him that question? You know, how can I be a pastor? How can I help other people if my own husband is not, you know, he's not saved? But last Sunday, you know, those two men gave their heart to Christ. And I just feel like, you know, adding on to the past couple of years of my life, that was one of the best things, you know, that's a day you'll never forget. But it's just, to me, the past couple of years especially have been about loving other people. And, you know, when you look at Mark, you look at how, you know, God said he gave two great commandments. And what were they? Love God and love people. And I consistently, you know, speak on this, you know, when I write sermons for school or whatever, devotionals, whatever it is, I feel like I almost always go back to this and try to find some way to interject it into what I'm writing, because it's so important. I don't think that people realize that. And I think that over, you know, the past couple of years, I've hoped that, you know, Andrew would see, you know, God through me and love through me, because God's put so many people in my path, strangers who I, you know, didn't even know. We were at, he works for Kaiser Permanente, we were at Kaiser, and he was there for a meeting, and we were, I know I'm talking a lot, I'm sorry, we were there, he was there for a meeting, so here I was sitting in the waiting room, you know, at the clinic, and there were all these empty seats, and out of all these empty seats, an older lady and her husband was obviously very sick, they came and sat right beside me, in the seat right beside me, and I thought, okay, this is kind of weird, just all these empty seats, and it was like, okay, well, maybe she just wants somebody to talk to, and anyways, we just got to talking, and they found out, you know, I was going to school for ministry, and they just poured it out to me, and, you know, the lady asked me, she said, will you pray with me and my husband, you know, he's got stage 4, he had some type of cancer, and they're not, you know, expecting him to make it, and we're going to meet with the doctor today to see if we have, you know, one other option to take care of this, and she said, will you pray with us? And I said, of course I did. And I asked the man, I said, are you saved? And he said, yeah, don't worry about that. I know where I'm going when I die. He said, and his wife had got up at this point. He said, my wife doesn't want to accept it, but, you know, he said, I'm going to die. I just know it. But don't worry about me, because I know where I'm going, you know, when I die. And it was just such a good moment for me to be able to speak to those people. But it's just things like that. Strangers in my life, people that, you know, I never thought I would even speak to, you know, employees and people that I see every day. And I had always hoped that, you know, my husband would see that love through me, because that's what it's about. It's about loving other people. And I feel like that's the best way for us to build God's kingdom is to show love to other people. So let them see that love in you, you know, whatever it is. Even if it's just a smile, you never know what, you know, someone may be going through. I went through a very bad time, and some of your friends may on Facebook, you may have read it. I was in a very bad relationship, 2006 to 2009, and I almost died in this relationship. I'm a survivor of, I'm a suicide survivor. In 2009, I attempted to take my life. But, you know, if it wasn't for the kindness of people that I had met, it would have happened a lot sooner. Just maybe someone, you know, saying, hey, how's your day going? Something as simple as that, or smiling at a stranger. You don't realize the impact that you make on people just from something really small. You have no idea what people are going through in their lives. Just tying it in with that, you know, today, go out of here, let other people see love in you. That draws them to God, you know, to God. When you love other people, you're loving God. When you do things for other people, you're doing these things to God. So, you know, it was great this happened last weekend, but I just wanted to add that to tie into that. And I hope that, you know, y'all go out of here this week showing love to everybody in your life, and not strangers, whoever it is. Smile, you know, if somebody's rude to you in public, just, you know, hope you have a blessed day. Say a quick prayer for them. I do that a million times a day. I work in customer service. You know, I deal with a lot of rude people. And in my mind, I always say a prayer for them, because you don't know what they're going through.
Amen. Actually, Mauricio, so he came to the church from Meetup. You know, we have a group on meetup.com. And when he first came here, he said, a lot of the people here have come from church in the background. And some of you have been maybe shunned by the church or have not so great experiences. And so, but you're Christians already. You're here and you're kind of in a safe place, right? He was not. When we met, he actually said, I found you guys online and I just need something positive in my life. I don't really know anything about church or God or anything. That was exactly what he needed, somebody to take the interest to really talk to him about that. And so that's body ministry, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Amen. So I have two people giving their testimony today. So one of them can talk. So who's going first? Okay, the quiet one. If you don't know Ed and John, they are a wonderful couple, a godly couple, and God's really done a wonderful work in their life. And so I asked them if they would share for this quarter testimony a little bit about their life. You've never done that. It's okay.
Good morning, church. I think, you know, testimonies are great. I've heard other people say testimonies, and it's like, but in reality, what you see sometimes is not what they are or where they've been or where they're going, you know. And for me, I want to take you back in the very beginning with my parents, because back in the 50s, both my parents got a divorce and remarried. They had good reasons to divorce their spouse. And then they explained to me when I was born, when I was up big enough, how a miracle I was, because my mother had a partial hysterectomy. And when she married my dad, he wanted a son really bad. And she says, you don't mind, I want to marry me because I can't have any more children. He goes, that's okay, we'll still marry. But years later, when they were down in Florida, mother got really sick. And they flew her back to Georgia and went to her doctor. And mother said, she always told us the story. I was sitting on the side of the little bed, like, you know, they have to examine you. And he walked in the door and he goes, Claudia, in about 7 months, you're going to be okay. She's like, what are you talking about? You're 2 months pregnant. Because mother said after they had the partial hysterectomy, so she was shocked. And then they would say, me and your dad would lay in bed and talk, I hope it's a boy. I hope he's got your eyes, and da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. I needed that, to hear that they wanted me and they loved me. They sowed seeds to me for deep roots. Because I think we all need to be deep rooted in God. It starts off like a fairy tale. It's, you know, a great loving parents adored me. I had half siblings. I felt a big family. I was excited, you know, to be in it. And I didn't even know that there was half siblings. We was all raised together. Then as I got older, and then you see imperfections in your parents, especially my father, he was an alcoholic. He drank. And you're growing up, and you don't come with a manuscript. You don't have, this is who you are, or this is what you're going to be. You don't know. You're learning the environment around you as you grow. And when two people you love, and you didn't understand alcohol, and you didn't understand abuse, and you didn't understand all that, he come home and you hear your mother being beat. I will never forget it. Even as a little boy, you never forget that. It's horrible. And then you develop hatred for your father because, what are you doing? You know, this is crazy. And going through that, and then going to school, and then the picking on you. I was a little bitty boy. When I say little, I used to come home and say, Mama, I'm the smallest in the class. All the girls are taller than me. Everybody's bigger than me. I'm going to be a midget. I was like, oh. And then kids started picking on me because I couldn't hear my voice. I couldn't see my actions. They'd call me names. And I go home and say, Mom, they don't like me. And I will never forget what my mother told me, even though I did not understand what she told me. But it stuck with me. And I'm going to tell y'all. I come home and mother goes, what's the matter? And I said, Mother, I'm trying to get these people to like me, but they don't like me. And my mother set me on the side of the bed and she says, I learned the hard way. You're not going to get everybody to like you in this world. They're not going to like you because of the color of your eyes, the color of your skin, the clothes you wear, your personality, things that you cannot change. She goes, so don't worry about those. She goes, just as long as you know you didn't do anything to them, don't worry about it. As I grew up, my father gave me some good advice. You know, he always says, when you get a partner or someone in your life, make sure they're pointing in the same direction as you. Because if they're pointing this way and you're pointing this way, you're always pulling against each other. You never go nowhere. And that was... I had some great advice from my parents, and getting out in the world, you see hatred, you know, and if people could love one another and be kind, how wonderful that is, you know, and coming here, you feel it. So as I got older, I knew I was different, but I would never recognize. I didn't think I was gay. I really didn't. I thought, I just admire men. I just want to look like that one day. I'll grow out of it. No, I something's wrong. But I didn't recognize it. So I commend people when they were young to recognize who they were, but I didn't. That I thought I would grow out of it. I didn't know. And then my father said, we're moving out of Atlanta, and we're moving to a farm. I was like, oh, okay, great, because I loved animals, because people didn't like me, but I love my dogs, I love my fish, I love the cats, because they always is happy to see you. So people was not so much for me as a child. So when we moved to the farm, and we went out, and me and Mama was riding around, and back in the farm days, you know, you see there are big revivals. It says revivals. And I said, Mama, what is that? And then she explained about Jesus and giving your heart and your soul. And I guess the look on my face, Mother goes, you want me to take you? I said, yes. Something drawed me to it. And even as a little boy, too good. Something inside me, too good. I felt it. I didn't know what it was at the time, but God was always with me, even when I didn't know his name. And he's with everybody. It's just that you got to tap into it and you got to listen. But as I got older, and when Mother said that to me, I was like, yeah, I want to go. So we went to a Baptist church, but I loved it. Something to it drew me into it. Mother goes, I want to take you to my church. I like to broke my neck. I said, you go to church? She said, yes. She says, they turned me out when I married your dad. I said, what? And she said, yes, because it was my second marriage, no matter what reason, they turned me away because I married your dad. I was just like, okay. I said, so why do you want to go back to that church? She goes, I didn't do nothing wrong. So my mother was a very strong, she may not have been a very book-wise person like me, but she was very, she's very, had a PhD in life. And I draw my strength. God gave me a wonderful woman for a mother. And I am so blessed. And because when I grew up, I thought all women are good mothers. But I found out some people do not get good mothers or good fathers. And my father, a good person, but had some, oh, we all have flaws. Going to church, after learning about God, and then when I was thinking I could be gay, then it was like, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't. And I didn't want to displease my parents, and I didn't want to please God. And I wanted children. So I thought, I can do this. I got to find me somebody to go out with. So believe it or not, I was a very shy, backwards person. It was hard for me to talk to people, so it was hard for me to get a date. But I was working in a factory, and this guy came up to me and goes, I want you to meet my daughter. She needs a date for a church benefit. Would you be interested? And I was like, okay. I went to the church and took her to the benefit. We hardly talked. And then the next thing I knew, when I was leaving the church, she goes, are we going to go out again? I thought, I didn't know we was out. But we started dating, and we married. And actually, I told her, I said, I want 6 children. She's like, oh, no, I don't want none. I said, we can't marry then. She was, oh, no, I'll have 1. I said, how about 2? So all of life is well, right? I married for the first time. I focused directly on her. Everything was good. So I thought, and then one day she came up to me and she says, I don't want to be a mother no more, and I don't want to be a wife. And my daughter was 18 months old. I was just like sucker punch for that. You know, I was like, no, we're supposed to be married the rest of our lives. What are you talking about? We got another child to have. And I remember crying so hard, I wet carpet. I didn't know how to be on my own. I didn't know how to do what I needed to do. It was just me and my daughter, Danielle, for years. And I used to go to Mom. I said, Mama, how did I get over this pain? I can't get over this. I quit going to church because I felt, you know, as a couple rips, you feel inadequate, not good enough. I've done something wrong. And for years, I quit going to church, and I just focused on my daughter and worked all the time. And I did that for years and years and years and years. And I didn't trust. You know, it does something to you. And then one day, I was at work, and everybody whispered, I think he's gay. And I was trying to prove everybody wrong. So I butched it up.
How you doing?
You know, I was trying to convince everybody that I was straight. And inside, I wasn't. I knew then, I was like, ooh. But I didn't know where to go, how to meet, or anything. So I just stayed single. And then one day, somebody at work said, hey, you want to go to the movies? And so I said, yeah. I was driving Miss Daisy, won't forget it. Then they said, do you really want to go to the movies? And I was like, where do you want to go? He goes, you want to go to a gay bar? And I thought it was a trap for people to say, oh, I knew you was. I said, well, if it's up to you, I'll go with you. And inside I was like, yeah. So I did. And I love music. So music and men and I will never forget this, y'all. I expected a few old people around a bar stool. That's what I thought. I thought, this is what it's going to look like. The armory. I will never forget when I opened the doors to the armory, wall to wall. And it was like a way to go to be yourself, not feel like you have to be somebody else. It was like almost God was showing me, hey, this is another life, that this is who you're going to be. You're going to have to go through this to get to this. And it was, but I found out real quick, like, that the bars was has dangers, snares and catches that you can get into. And dating was just like, what? it was not a great place to meet people. So I found that out, and I had a daughter to raise, so I thought, I can't do this. I cannot date nobody like this. I've got to go back to women. I've got to help me find somebody to help me raise a child. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, right? Went out, and the next thing I knew, she got pregnant. Second wife. Okay, God, maybe that's what you want. Maybe this is what it's supposed to happen. I don't want to speak of it because it's my son's mother, but we're friends now. But at the time of the marriage, it was really rough. 8 years of that was rough. And finally, she came home, and she goes, I'm not happy. And then I knew then, for that moment, that I would never date another woman. I was like, God, I love you, but if I can't have a man, I don't want nothing. And so I didn't. I didn't do anything for many, many years. I told my daughter, I said, she was 15 at the time, and I said, I just want to tell you that I am gay, and I won't be dating no more women, and I will try to find a man if I can. If I can't, then it's just going to be me. And yeah, I remember what my daughter says. She goes, okay, Dad, but just don't tell nobody until I get out of high school. So, and she got tormented by who I was anyway. She goes, everybody whispered about you anyway, Dad. And I was like, you know, why the fear? Fear can control a lot of people's lives. I was so scared of so many things, and why? God had me, and he brought me all the way here to where I'm at, to this church today. I am just very, very blessed. And sometimes I get nervous and scared. I think, wait a minute, what am I going to be scared of? God has got me. He's got y'all too. He's brought y'all here. Y'all wouldn't be here if y'all didn't feel him. Y'all wouldn't be here if you didn't have that desire. And he puts it in all of us, but sometimes it needs a little seeding for it to grow, and pray to him. Because I used to pray every night as a little child, and I pray every night now to strengthen my role with God. And blessings has come unbelievable. Because after being single for many years, you get into crazy. I went back to the nightclubs. Like I said, I love music, but then what's in the club sometimes is not savory, and it can pull you away from God. And that's what it did. Because as a child, I wasn't like, but in the clubs, how are you doing? If you ever done it, you know, at first it's fun, but then it gets to be, I knew it was wrong. God has always been in my heart and in my body. Even when I was doing wrong, he was saying, be careful. But he was growing me up so I can be strong. Because what I'm doing right now, I used to stutter really bad as a child. Not really good in school. I did not like to read. I just felt very little of myself. Because I always look at other people and go, golly, look at them. Oh, wow, they got great jobs. They got this, they got that. But now God's given me strength. I'm a child of the Most High God. We all are. And when you realize that, no matter if we're not perfect, we are powerful. And I'm blessed. I have two children, and I think God saw my heart. And even though the two marriages wasn't great, I learned from both of them. The people that come in your life that spit on you, thank them, because they're going to give you blessings. Because when they treat you wrong, you're getting blessings. But I was breaking down and crying a lot because I felt guilty and I felt nasty. So one night, Saturday night came about. Hundreds of times I've been to this club. I was coming around the corner, and these people were standing out there having donuts, and they offered me one. I said, no. And I looked. It was a church. After Dark program, they called it. They just started it. I walked around. I went into the club, and I don't even remember the music playing. That was in my mind. For 30 minutes, I could not concentrate. I didn't know. It all played in my mind constantly. I turned around, went out, drove all the way down there, come right out of that club, and I went up to them, and I said, what time's service start? They said 11. I said, I'll be there. I went straight home, jumped in the bed, And I worked nights, so getting up early was not easy. And I lived about a little over an hour away. So I jumped up out of that bed that next morning at 7 in the morning, went down that church, and it was not a church for me to stay at. It was like a leaf on a tree for a season. But it grew me where when the wind blew, I came here. And I will never forget, like y'all were saying, when I come in, I felt the love. And I prayed to God before I came in those doors. I said, let me know if this church is meant for me to be here. I will never forget Keith and Ed and just the whole Tommy and all them. It was just like, oh, my chills came up over my body. Of all the abuse that we go through in life, it really is a blessing. People that treat you wrong, I look at people different now. I used to get hurt by them. But you know what? They're all misguided in their child. All murderers, all people, drug addicts, alcoholics, they're all God's children. They're just having a rough time of dealing with things. And like my father, I used to pray my father would die before my mother. I said, give her peace, Lord. I can't even want to go through some of the stories of that. And my mother died. My mother was my rock. When my mother left, it felt like someone gutted me and left me with my father, which was hard for me to communicate with. We never was close. He got a son, all right, but I was not the hunter. I was not the man he wanted me to be. I just didn't have those interests of killing deer and gutting them. I mean, it was just not. He was a military redneck man, and that was just not me. So, but after Mom died, I had 5 years with him, and I didn't understand it at first, but now I knew why God took my mother and let me understand my father. Because my father, which he never talked about his past, he was an orphan when he was 10. Both parents died at 52. And he had to be passed around to be raised. So his raising wasn't great. And he felt inadequate. So he would drink to try to feel better. It didn't make up for what he did to Mom. But I understood. He quit drinking on his own later in life. All the trouble, I look at it as going through the roses. A lot of thorns, but to get to the rose. And now I'm 52, going on 53, and I feel like I'm just beginning again. It feels really good, especially coming here. And no matter what goes on in your church, your family, your lives, keep praying to God, because He's got a plan. He's got you.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't talked in front of anybody in forever. Out in Marion County, Tennessee, at the foot of Mont Eagle Mountain. Maybe some people have heard of Mont Eagle Mountain. Going to Nashville, you always have to go that way pretty much. And I'm talking outdoor toilets, no indoor water. We had to bathe in a foot tub. You know, it was that kind of thing. My first shower was whenever it would rain. Mother would put us outside on a big stone thing that was in front of the house. It's like a step. And hand us some soap. And when it rained, we showered. So that was pretty different. Not too many people have gone through that. Even that young. But I knew I was different. I remember it's the old 41, they were putting in the interstate to go up Mont Eagle Mountain, and the Vietnam War and all this stuff was going on. And at that time also, I just loved the Supremes. I remember putting on somebody's house coat and went outside and to the steps, got up on the steps that were facing the road and stop in the name of love. And all these military people would drive by, and they were like, in 1967, I was about 6 going on 7, my mother decided to take us to church. We went to church. She and I did. And my sister went occasionally. My half-sister, I have a sister and a half-brother. They've gone to be with the Lord now, but there was 4 of us. And My mother and I got saved on the same day. It was through a Tennessee Temple College that was big in Chattanooga at the time. And then she and I got baptized at the same time, too, which was really great. And then all of a sudden, I think the pressures of going to church and everything, it just ended. So she didn't go to church any longer, but I kept going. And I knew that God had a calling on my life. At one point, I decided I knew I was called for something, and I thought I was going to be a minister, and used to preach in that little church. I was 8, 9 years old, and I would get up and give the little messages, you know, that kind of thing, and was aspiring to be a minister. But whenever I got in my teens, it was like every girl. I had a crush on Donny Osmond, and for some reason, I got interested in their religious beliefs, too. And they were Mormon, of course, and I knew how dysfunctional by that time my family was. My dad had been raised, and he had to run a still making moonshine to help pay the bills because he didn't have a high school education. He had to quit school when he was in the fifth grade. As fate has it, he got caught delivering some of this alcohol at one point, and so he was gone for several months, and then whenever he got out of prison in Florida, my mother went to work. So that changed our lives totally, which was a good thing. And with all this dysfunction, I decided to research the Mormon church. And the next thing I knew, I was a Mormon. And the only Mormon at that time in Marion County. And the Mormon missionaries would come pick me up on Sundays and take me from the foot of Mont Eagle all the way to Chattanooga to Northmore Road at that time where the church was. And I just knew that that church was true. And I just knew being a Mormon would help me with all these desires and temptations that I had because, you know, you can't be Mormon and be gay. It took a long time to find out that didn't work. Just a lot of craziness in my life. And I figured the Mormon church would help me out of that, but it didn't. And I found out about that after I graduated from high school. I went to Salt Lake City and was saving, working out there, staying with an elderly couple who had been missionaries. And I just knew that, you know, being a Mormon would fix everything, and it didn't. And I decided to come back home. I come back home at Christmas in 1978. And by the way, I'm 57, so all this other stuff happened in the 60s. Whenever I came back home, my sister had come out as gay, my younger brother had come out as gay, and my other brother was a truck driver. So, you know, we had a lot of changes while I was gone for a few months, 6 months, and everybody comes out just about. And so I thought, well, if y'all can come out, I can come out. And so I didn't go back to Salt Lake City. I went ahead and joined them. We started partying. We partied for several years and did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. Through an ex-boyfriend, I met a girl who just absolutely fell in love with me. And I told her how that I wasn't happy being gay and that I felt like it was wrong and I just needed something. And she urged me to go back to the Mormon church because that's why at that time I still felt that it was true. And so I tried that, and she said she would go to the church too. And so we got married. 3 months after we got married, she got pregnant and said, I don't want to be in the Mormon church. And I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, I thought we were doing this together. And said, no, I've decided I don't want to be a Mormon. So I didn't want to lose my son. And so we stayed together for 21 years. In our 20th year of marriage, she cheated on me, which was the best thing that ever really happened. It hurt like the time, but I was devoted father and husband, and God used this to bring John out of his shell, to get him out of these things that he knew he shouldn't be in, and he set me free. So, but we're still good friends. During that time when we were married, I got ordained. I'm an ordained minister, and not through a college, but through a church, and I did preaching, I did singing, and all those things, you know, and thought that that was going to fix everything. Got involved in that kind of thing because the Mormon church thing wasn't working out, and I felt like God could, if I just went to God and got into the Pentecostal church, then maybe somebody would lay hands on me and heal me from the homosexuality. Well, that didn't work. Didn't work at all. I think I got gayer. Yes, I got into drag. And I am a lovely woman, I just have to tell you. But after the divorce, I was went through a lot of depression and went back to partying. I tried all the dating services, but that didn't work. And I went through the Religion of the Month Club. I mean, besides Mormon, Pentecostal, Adventist membership, I'm Catholic as well, visited the Worldwide Church of God and Church of Christ, waved at some Hare Krishnas once, and just nothing worked. I found out that did work, was getting rid of religion, getting rid of religion, and just me and Jesus. Me and Jesus. I would read his word, and what I didn't understand, I gave it to him, and I worked on our relationship. If you're in here and you have a religious past where religion said you have to be this way, or you have to be baptized, or you have to, you know, kneel and, you know, do the whole nine yards, it doesn't work. You'll never find peace. Peace is in Christ Jesus alone. And that took a lifetime to find that. And the Lord led me to a New Covenant church. I know you've heard of New Covenant Atlanta. Well, they have a branch in Chattanooga that I'm still a member of. And when I walked in the doors and I saw these couples together, I'm like, oh, my God. You can be gay and saved. And it was just like the biggest light came on in my life. You know, it was amazing. And I said, that's what I want. That's what I want. It's why I came out of the closet back in the beginning. You know, I wanted a man. I wanted to be in a relationship. In 78, I wanted to be married, you know, and it was unheard of. Back then, they were going into the bars and taking you to jail because you were gay in bars, you know, for no reasons. You know, I lived through that era. But, you know, but now I was in a church that explained what the scriptures were talking about and that I could be gay and saved and be in love, and have a committed relationship. So that was in 2014, 2016, January, I made a list. Somebody told me that how I met my husband was I made a list of everything I wanted out of him. And I prayed over it every day. That's what he told me, and he was married. I was in their wedding, and so I did the same thing. I made a list of everything from the smallest thing to the largest. Prayed over it every day starting in January of 2015. And by November 2nd, Ed said he would date me. And our first date was November 14th. And the Lord has kept us together ever since. So God will keep his promises. So that anyway, that's it in a nutshell. I just, you know, was so very pleased to be a part of this church. Having two churches in my life is really wonderful. It's a blessing. I'm a little bit more partial to this one, but we won't tell anybody in Chattanooga. God really did a wonderful work by bringing this man into my life. God's faithful. His answers may not be the ones you want to hear, but he's good and he will answer them. It may be no. It might be no right now, but he will answer them. I'm a living testimony that God works miracles, and he brought this man into my life. And the same weekend that he was praying on his knees, I had prayed that Sunday night. I said, God, please, I'm praying over this list. I know you want somebody in my life. And I got on my knees too and was crying and praying. And I was happened to be off that next day, that Monday the 2nd, and I got up at 10 o'clock and I felt a rush of the Holy Spirit. It said, text Ed. And I'm like, oh, Lord, no, you're nuts. You can't be doing this. I can't be doing this, Lord. And I put it off for about an hour, and he kept pushing me and pushing me. Text Ed, ask him for a date. And I said, okay, we'll do it. So I texted him, and I did say, I can understand if you don't want to date me, because there was a big distance from where we live. And Ed said, yes. Yes, I want to date you. I'll date you. And then he broke the first date. Our first date. Yes, we were going to go out that Saturday. He calls me. I can't do it. I'm sick. I thought he's like every other man. Done drop me hard. And it kind of hurt. And I was kind of ill. And then I prayed about it. And the Lord said, you better text him and text him now and tell him you're sorry. And I did. And And that really touched him. Yes, it was. And so you have to wait on the Lord. And you have to have a little bit of faith. It's hard to have faith in a gay life sometimes, faith in each other. But we're living witnesses. It does work. God is good. You learned this in the Mormon church. I testify in the name of Jesus Christ that Jesus is Lord. He is my Savior. And He does miracles. He does wonders. And He can bring two people together like us. He can do anything. I'm telling you. Thank you, Jesus. Good job.